Today on the Word of Truth Revealed.
I think I told you a few weeks ago, anytime you are going to reconnect in the valley of dry bones, before you see any connection of joints, you're going to hear a rambling or a noise in the midst of the valley. And some of you right now are experiencing the noise of restoration, and it's messing up your head.
Today, Bishop Clark asked the question, is it possible for God's work of restoration to be hindered, stalled, and impeded?
Don't get discombobulated with the noise of restoration. Different moving parts that are just moving. Stuff happening that you didn't even think would happen. Don't worry about all that. Focus on the Lord. And get out of God's way and let Him handle it.
Celebrating 32 years of ministry, you're listening to the Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of the International Ministries of Truth Revealed, a Spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida. Today, we begin another message in the Restore series. Grab your Bibles and let's turn to Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, as Bishop Clark begins the message, Don't Sabotage Your Restoration.
I read to you out of Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. I will revisit it. In this one verse, we see several major external themes. Major external themes or even schemes that are at work. They're being arranged even now by the enemy to sabotage the work of restoration that God has already initiated in your life. The threat is real and the danger is imminent. Anytime God tries to restore anything, it awakens a hornet's nest from the pits of hell and they begin to fly at your destiny. You're casual about it, but the devil can feel the reverberation in the earth when the anointing for restoration is released. When Jesus came to a certain region, there was a demoniac. But when his foot hit the soil of the land, when he stepped out of the boat, and when his foot hit the soil of the land, it reverberated in the land. And the man began to cry in the tombs in the distance. And take rocks and cut himself with rocks as he's crying in the tombs. You know why that happened? Because the devil in him felt the reverberation of the anointing. And when God is doing something in your life, the devil that wants to lock you down can feel it. Just like a spider in a web. If a fly hits the web, the spider knows he's there. He doesn't even have to move. He already knows, and he starts inching toward the reverberation to wrap it up and to sink its fangs in it and then suck the juice out of it. And that's exactly what the black hornet, the black widow, is trying to do to you. And that is, can feel, that demonic spirit can feel that God is about to restore your life. And what he'll do is he will send something your way to lock you down. But I'm here to tell you, I'm awakening your awareness tonight, today, and God is allowing you to know something good is coming. Don't sabotage your own restoration. And so in this one verse, we see an external theme or even schemes of the enemy. He's already at work. He's heading your way to sabotage what God has already started. I think I told you a few weeks ago, anytime you are going to reconnect in the valley of dry bones, before you see any connection of joints and sinew, before you see any standing and become an exceeding great army, you're going to hear a rambling or a noise in the midst of the valley. And some of you right now are experiencing the noise of restoration and it's messing up your head. Don't get discombobulated with the noise of restoration. Different moving parts that are just moving, stuff happening that you didn't even think would happen. Don't worry about all that. Focus on the Lord. And get out of God's way and let Him handle it, because He can do more in 3 days than you could do in 3, 4, 5, 10, 15 years. He can restore. Can somebody say amen? In 1 hour, he brings Joseph out of the pits. Glory to God. And late in the midnight hour, he can turn your stuff around. He can work in your favor. This message is designed to make you aware, but also to awaken a desire to see God complete what he started. So what is the definition? We read out of Nehemiah 4, verse 8 and 9. What is the definition of a conspiracy? The Bible says, and all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. People will want to come into your life just to create confusion. It's right there in the text. Absolutely. But the scripture says, nevertheless, say it loud, nevertheless. See, you can't focus on what they are trying to do. You got to say, nevertheless, I'm not going to allow my mind to stray and go after what others are trying to do. Nevertheless, we made our prayer to God. It's right there in the text. Instead of worrying about what they do, you need to lock hands. Come on, man. Lock hands with family and say, I see the enemy coming, but I'm pulling everybody together. We're going to talk to God about what's happening here. God, you brought our family this far. You're the one that helped us to be what we are and who we are. We're not going to let the enemy distract us. God, we need you to help this confusion and this attack that's coming against us and this plan that the enemy has to stop us from being what God wants us to be. We put you in charge of it. We're going to get out of the way, sit our behind down, and let God cover you. Because of them, we set a watch. Because of them, we didn't just go back and lay in the bed. We set a watch against them day and night. So what is the definition of a conspiracy theory? We see it big in America. It is an assumption. It is a concept. It's not even real. It's a theory. It's an assumption or a concept or even a philosophy. And if it's a philosophy, a concept or a assumption, if it's a philosophy that seeks to explain an event, it seeks to explain an event or circumstance as a result of a secret plot. As a result of a secret plot, it comes usually from powerful conspirators, people who have authority. It wouldn't mean anything if I tried to start a conspiracy theory and I'm just the pastor of a church in a local area. But when you have authority and power and you can speak to millions and you say it and people buy into it, you'll see masses move toward it. Notice, it's just an assumption. It is a concept or a philosophy. It may not even be real. And if it is a philosophy that seeks to explain an event, a previous event, or a set of circumstances as a result of a secret plot, we got to be careful. Whether it is true, whether the theory is true or a lie, if a fraction of the masses get it, you won't see much movement. But if the masses buy into it, even if it's a lie, it can become very dangerous, extremely dangerous. What's happening in America now, you got millions of people that don't trust the elections anymore. This is dangerous because the next time there's an election, you may see division in the country, especially if it don't go the way that those conspirators wanted to go. And they say, listen, they came against us. It's all fake. Once that happens now, you don't believe in democracy. What do you have now? You need a Hitler to stand before you? You need a Hitler to stand and say, I got it now. I can take care of all of you. I will decide what happens for you. I will use the nuclear bomb and blow up a whole city if you don't agree with me. Or I'll gas all of you all because I have the army with me. That's how dangerous it is. And let me tell you something about religious conspiracy. The enemy has already begun to use the conspiracy mindset or the philosophy to mess up people. The word isn't true. That's what he said. The word isn't true. Faith isn't real. Look what happens to you. Look what's going on in your life. There's a plot. Everybody's against you. And you feel when you hear these things that you got to stand up for yourself. And if you stand up for yourself, God will step back. The Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. In other words, I need my people to back up. Even when there's a major issue, back up and allow me. You can voice the issue, but to try to manipulate it, you're standing in God's place now. And God wants to be the Lord of all. And he wants to be able to take care of the situation. And when it's all over, everybody can say, God did that. I had nothing to do with it. Actually, I was mad, but God worked it out in my life. Can the church say amen? Glory to God. I want you to read the entire chapter of Nehemiah chapter 4, because this man was trying to restore a broken down city and a broken people. And he had conspirators to come against it. Let me break it down. In this one verse, we see a scheme, an external scheme to stop the plan of God. Is it possible for God's work of restoration to be hindered or impeded in your life? Absolutely. It is possible for the work of God, the work of restoration, to slow down in your life if you get in the way. Or if you allow the conspirator to mess up your mind by releasing something in your mind that will take you away from God's plan and arrangement. Notice the word. And all of them conspired together to come. All of them conspired together. Point number one, all of them conspired together. The plot and the unified bond in the plot. All of them conspired together. This is what the enemy does many times when restoration is coming. The enemy says, I need to divide the one being restored and then I can conquer them. I need to divide them. This is his plan 101. I'll divide and then I'll conquer. I'll divide. But notice, he's not divided. The Bible says it's clear. It's clear. And all of them, not excluding one, all of them conspire together. Here's a unified plot to dethrone you. But you fall into the bondage and to the tendency of dividing yourself, getting mad, separating, and being fractioned or departmentalized, and nobody ever comes together as one. The enemy knows if he can get his people, God's people, to never have a solid front, he can steal, kill, and to destroy. Even the shield of faith in Ephesians chapter 6 is the solid front of your confession. It's not a physical shield, because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God in the pulling what? Down of strongholds. But you need to understand the solid front of your confession is your shield. That's being able in your home or in your life or in your family tree or in your church, when you see confusion coming or an attack of the enemy, for all of us to stand together and say the same thing. When you say the same thing, a solid front, the enemy has nowhere to go. But if one is saying one thing, another is saying another, and we're never able to come together as one, we will be divided, and then the enemy can pluck us asunder. How many of you know the devil is a liar? But he's united. In the kingdom of darkness, there's one leader. His name is Lucifer. Name changed to devil. Satan. Slewfoot. Beelzebub. The prince of flies. Whew, the son of the morning. That's his name. The son of the morning. He's the god of lights. The god of this world. Don't play with him, because he curls his tail of influence and pull down one third of the stars. Don't play with him. He's been here a long time and he lurks to seek whom he may devour. For Satan comes against the church as a roaring lion to seek whom he may devour. And if you're ununited or whatever the word is, if you don't have yourself together and you don't come together as one, he will divide you and conquer you. I'm preaching better than you saying amen. This creature is unique. He was made by God. He can create his own music. That's why he pumps through it. And that's why young people, if they listen to the wrong thing, they'll have an attitude, because the music is actually inspired by the enemy. You think it's just your favorite singer, but it's something they're putting inside of you. Demonic strongholds to make you come against authority and won't listen to nobody. You got to shut that down and start putting the praise on your lips. Can somebody say amen? This creature is very unique. And he said within his heart, why am I just giving a praise to God? I will exalt my throne above the Most High. And Jesus said, I saw him fall as lightning. But he didn't lose his influence. He didn't lose his cunningness. And if you don't know the name of Jesus, I don't want to get ahead of myself, and you don't have a clear picture of who you are, he will tear you asunder. The Bible says, Simon, Simon. Jesus looked at Peter and said, Simon, Simon, When he calls twice, it means he's shifting things. Simon, Simon, Satan desires to have you. In other words, I'm looking at the spirit that's on the other side of you. He's salvating. The Bible says Satan desires to have you to sift you as wheat. In other words, when I'm done with you, they won't even remember your name. That's his desire. You're playing with it. You think it's cool, but he desires to sift you as wheat. But I've prayed for you. Woo, Jesus. How many of you are glad Jesus is crying out for us? How many of you are glad that intercession is being made for the saints even now? And I'm glad that he's praying for me. But I want you to get real in your soul. Get it real. Get it deep down in your soul. Satan doesn't like you, and he wants to sabotage your restoration. Notice they are not divided, they're united. All of them conspired. Here's a conspiracy. They're united by the conspiracy. It's a theory or philosophy. It's not even real. And it pulls them together even more than it pulls, than the gospel pulls church people together. That's why a lie in the church or gossip in the church can be dangerous. Because what it don't even have to be real. You just throw it out there and people start believing it and they back away from their leadership. The enemy divides and conquers. You don't want to be the agent of that. Come into a church, don't like me because I wear a collar or because I'm finer. And so you feel like you got to say something negative. If you don't like it, do something about yourself. You don't have to tear another man down because you don't like it or because another lady is fine. You don't like her, you got to tear it down. Learn how to find yourself. And when you do that, you don't have to worry about other people. Keep it moving forward. Can somebody say amen? Amen. What do you want me to be broke down? You want me to be broke? Walking around like a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody? Or do you want me to have confidence? Come on, leadership, you need confidence. You don't need to be cocky, but you need confidence. Can somebody say amen? Amen. God wants you to have confidence. Stand up straight. Come on, grow, truth reveal. It means straighten your back. It's good. Grow, truth reveal, straighten it up. Don't let life kill you. Come on, there's too much life in you. You got to tell the devil, there's too much life in me. I can't die right now. I've got too much. Too much potential. Too much God hadn't done yet. Can't die now, moving forward. Notice they came together conspiring against Jerusalem to attack Jerusalem. Jerusalem is called the city of peace. What you have to see is the enemy is coming to divide and conquer with a conspiracy to attack your peace. What does peace mean? It's not just tranquility of soul. Peace means nothing missing, nothing scattered, and nothing broken. And when God says peace over your life, he's going to take that which is missing and help you find it. He's going to take the things that are scattered, hallelujah, and help you to arrange it. And even the things that are broken, he's going to fix it. You don't have peace if you got broken stuff, and if you got stuff scattered, and if you got stuff that you can't find. So God is going to help you to locate that which you can't find. He's going to help you to rearrange that which is scattered, and he's going to help you to fix that which is broken. So look at your life. What's broken? What's broken? I speak peace over you. The enemy is coming to attack that, even while God is restoring. God is trying to restore, and the enemy don't want you to get the things that are broken fixed. And he wants you to put something in there, say something to sabotage what God is trying to do. And you got to learn how to sit down and let God cover you. Don't allow the enemy to get you to say the wrong thing right now, because God is at work in your life to do great things. Can the church say amen? Don't let him take your peace. Say that with me. Devil, you can't have my peace. And I'm not talking about Colt 45s, and I'm not talking about Glocks. I'm talking about internal peace. I'm talking about in your mind. Glory. I just decree and declare that insomnia would not be your dominant force. You will sleep well tonight in the name of Jesus. God is going to release peace over you. Somebody right now lifting their hand. That's right. Because you can't even rest. You're worried about everything. There is no tranquility inside of you. You always blame yourself for everything that goes wrong. And God is saying to you, I love you and I want you to restore. I want to restore everything that the cankerworm and the scattering worm and the crawling locust has eaten up in your life. Don't hinder me from doing the work. And I just decree and declare that insomnia is not your friend. You will rest and you will sleep. And I decree a Sabbath over you. In the name of Jesus. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, not just for salvation, and I will give you Sabbath. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, not the world's yoke, not your yoke, not what circumstance tried to put on you. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I'm meek and lowly at heart, and you will find Sabbath for your soul. The day is not, Sabbath is not a day per se today. It is a person. There are people, I can't do nothing on Saturdays. Religions in America can't do nothing on Saturday. Seventh Day Adventist, and I can go on, not cutting you down. But what they failed to miss, what Ellen G. White failed to miss, when she's a great prophet, what she failed to miss is that Jesus is the day. This is Jesus. This is Jesus that the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice and be glad. This is the day that the Lord has made. That day is Sabbath, and the name of it is Jesus. He's the Sabbath day that we find rest. He is the person that we come to and put our necks in the yoke with him, and we don't have to worry about that which is missing, that which is scattered, and that which is broken. Glory to God. Are you all with me?
Yes, sir.
Glory to God. Not only did they attack Jerusalem, come to attack the city of peace and the restoration of its torn down gates and systems, but the Bible says they came, put it up, to create confusion. Do you mean to tell me that the devil will send agents?
Yes, sir.
In your life just to create confusion? The only purpose is to create some type of confusion. The Bible says the author of confusion is who? Is the devil. Anytime, I don't care what it looks like. Anytime confusion breaks out, you need to know the one sending it. I don't care how fine it is. I don't care how great it looks. Anybody that's causing confusion has been sent to you by the devil himself. It is the opposite of peace. I don't care. Don't allow yourself to sabotage it where you harbor the confusion and everybody else wrong. You harbor the confusion. It's sent by the devil. You got to learn how to protect that which is real. Protect the peace. And if it assimilates to peace, then you can reach it. If it's willing to assimilate with peace, then we can do it. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I'm preaching the word today. Sit your behind down and let God cover you. Get out of the way. The devil is the author and the finisher of confusion. God is not the author of confusion. He's the prince of peace. Come on, say that, prince of peace. And I speak peace over you. Holy Spirit is whispering peace over you. Let Holy Ghost cover you like a cloud. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let it be so, God.
I feel in my spirit that the Holy Spirit is prompting me to speak out loud this one word. Activation. Faith becomes active and effective when it is built on a strong foundation of accurate answers or truth. When you believe in the integrity of that truth, when you trust in that truth, and when you're hearing that truth on a continual basis, if you do these things, your faith will be activated. So F in faith is for foundation. Build on the solid foundation, which is God's word. The A in faith is for accurate answers. We must build our faith on truth, and the word of God is truth. We must also build our faith on the I, which is integrity. There must be fidelity, trustworthiness in our lives. And the T in faith is for trust. Build your faith on trust. Lastly, the H in faith is for hearing. Hear the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the more you hear, the more you trust, the more integrity you have, the more accurate answers you stand on, the foundation that you will build will get you ready to activate, to make movement in faith.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's teaching, we would love to hear from you. You can write to us at The Word of Truth Revealed, P.O. Box 60128, Palm Bay, Florida 32906, or you can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. For your physical copy of today's message from the Restore series, Don't Sabotage Your Restoration, when you write or email us, use reference number 2110-0308. That's reference number 2110-0308. Or log on to our website and download the MP3. Help us unveil truth to the nations by becoming a partner with the International Ministries of Truth Revealed. We would like to thank you in advance for your consideration and for generously supporting this ministry. Connect with us, Trim Nation, by downloading the Truth Revealed Church app today. For Android users, go to the Play Store, and for Apple users, go to the App Store. Follow Trim Nation on social media by logging into Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or visit us on the web at truthrevealed.org. And now, a final thought from Bishop Clark.
The foundation of a building is the most important part of a building. It is invisible to the naked eye once the building is erected, but it is the most important part, the most essential part of the structure. It's the substructure that bears the weight, bears the heaviness, the might, and the strength of the building. And it makes the building stable. So it is with our foundation. When we lay the proper foundation of faith on the Word of God, not only is it the most important part of our Christian structure, it is the substructure that bears the weight of our faith and our lives, and it makes our lives more stable. Build on the Word of God. Increase your faith. Activate your faith.
Try.